Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On this first Lord's Day, we thank God that we can continue to worship Him in peace. We thank God that we can continue to minister His Word to God's people in freedom. The theme for this year is taken from Psalm 1, verse 6. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. We live in a world where Christianity is dying. It will never die off, but it is dying. Because this is what God has revealed to us 2,000 years ago before the Lord says, before the Lord returns, the Lord says, Christianity will fall away. The year 1948, the World Council of Churches was born. Neo-evangelicalism was declared as the new way to believe in Christ. Harold Ockenga in 1948 declared, I'm no longer a fundamentalist. I'm now a neo-evangelical. I believe in all the fundamental doctrines of the faith, except the doctrine of biblical separation. And because of that, the face of Christianity has changed so drastically these past 70 plus years. So much so that when you think of Christianity, you think of bands and drums and loud music. You can't help it. You think of people uttering sounds that make no sense. They call it the gift of tongues. They now claim to have visions and dreams, so much so that the Bible has become obsolete. The Word of God is now set aside. Pastors will come up to the pulpit and say, God spoke to me this morning or last night, and this is what He says. And whatever they say is not found in Scripture at all. But the amazing thing is, thousands and thousands of people all over the world, if not in the millions, would just simply believe as if they are uttering the Word of God. This brand of Christianity has spawned many, many who call themselves Christians. But in reality, are they really Christians? When John the Baptist began his ministry, the Pharisees and the Sadducees went to the River Jordan to be baptized by him. Before he baptized them, he warned them. He told them, you are a generation of vipers. He was very stern and very strong with his words. Bear fruits of repentance. Your form of obedience to be baptized means nothing to God if you do not live a life that is holy and righteous before God. God is the one who will baptize us with the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Man can only baptize you with water, and he cannot see your heart. And that was why John the Baptist warned them and warned us, especially in these last days. All the external form of Christianity does not make us a Christian. And that is why it is so important that you must know that the Lord knows whether you are a believer or not. Because He knows the way of the righteous. He knows the way that we live. If we are righteous, He knows. He is the one living and true God. He is not dead. His ears are not deaf. His eyes are not blind. His mouth is not dumb. He can speak. Look at the word of life. He has spoken. He hears every word that comes out of our mouth. His eyes are so piercing like fire, it penetrates into the very depth of our soul. If you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and you know that He came down from heaven, born of the Virgin Mary to become flesh and blood like you and me, but born perfect, in order to live a perfect life, which He did, and then to offer Himself as a lamb, silently, quietly, to be crucified because of your sins and my sins, and He did all these for you. If you have truly accepted Him as Lord and as Savior with all your heart, and God said, it is enough. All that Christ has done for you is enough to wash away all your sins, because God raised Him from the dead on the third day after Christ died to let us know that, to tell us that if you truly accept Christ as Lord and as Savior, all your sins will be washed away. You will stand before God justified as a righteous, just person. And that will be evidenced by the way that we live from that point onwards. You can never be the same again because the power of salvation is real. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, propelling us forward, sanctifying us, helping us through the Word of God to understand the Word, to give us a brand new mind, a mind of Christ, constrained by the love of God that God has placed in us as our new motive, which we never had before. How can all these things that God has blessed us with does not result in a new way of life for all those who are righteous in Christ? Impossible. And that is the theme for this year. As a challenge to all of us to make sure of our salvation, because it is truly the last days. The signs are all around us. You and I have to be spiritually blind not to see that this world is a world of hopelessness. There is nothing that is of this earth that you ought to put your heart and set your affections onto. It is deception. Everything that your eyes can see, your five senses can taste and touch, they all will perish. The things that will last for eternity, they are all invisible. You can't see it with your naked eyes, and therefore you can't hold it with your bare hands. And so what you hold in your bare hands, they are worthless because it will not last the test of time. And therefore, if you truly know the way of the righteous, then you have to live the life of the righteous, because that's what God expects from all those who have truly accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. And I pray that you will take heed and take heart, because your soul alone is at stake. Whether you truly end up in heaven or end up in hell depends on you. And the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Are you truly righteous? What exactly is the way or the life of the righteous? Psalm 1 verse 1 gives us that definition. So God made it very plain and clear. He doesn't want to be obtuse. He wants to be very clear. He doesn't want to be vague. He wants you and me to be in no doubt of what the way of the righteous means. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So he described it or defined it from a negative perspective, using the negative not to help us. So if this is a description of you, you are on good ground. What exactly is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly? You see the progression, or rather the regression, of the way of sin. A person who lives the life of sin, he will walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and then he will stand in the way of sinners, and then he will sit in the seat of the scornful. You see the downward slide. First, it's all in the mind. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. It literally means he will never follow the pattern or the way of thinking of the ungodly. He will never do that, because that is the beginning. It's a very frightening end. The one who is blessed, and the word blessed describes a person who is happy because he has a personal, intimate relationship with God through Christ. Every time when the word blessed is used by God throughout both the Old and the New Testament, refers to a believer. God says, you are blessed, my son, my daughter, because you know me through Jesus Christ as your heavenly Father. You have a personal relationship with me, and therefore you will not walk in the counsel, in the kind of thinking of the ungodly. The ungodly here refers to people who are morally wrong. They will not do anything that is according to the way of God. They are not interested. They don't care. They are not doing anything sinful. They just simply don't care for what God wants them to do. Anything that God says, not interested. What are the things that God says? Pray without ceasing. Are you interested? Are you interested in prayer? Forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. Book of Hebrews. God says, as a Christian, you must seek after Christian fellowship. God says, sanctify yourself by the truth. The word is truth. Do you constantly read God's word? Now, this is God's way. Are you interested? Is this your thinking? Because if this is not your thinking and you are alive, then the opposite is you are thinking according to the counsel of the ungodly. The people who care not anything for the things of God. Now, if you are truly born again in Christ and the Spirit of God dwells in you, how can you not be interested in what God says? It's impossible. The Spirit of God will not allow that to happen in your life. Because the Spirit of God is very much alive in everyone who is righteous. And so are you interested in the things of God? Do you think about the things of God? How to be more and more like God? Because if you don't, the next step is going to be a downward slide. You're now going to seek after the way of sinners, how sinners live, and then you're going to stand there so that you can meet them. Right? That's what it says. You are not interested in walking in the way of the godly. You desire to think like the ungodly. So after thinking like the ungodly, you're going to now look for the ways of the sinners, because now they are no longer ungodly, because ungodly people will do and commit many more sins. And so now you're going to look for their ways. Where do I find them? Oh, there are many of them out there in the world. You find them in school. Some of them will be your classmates. They're going to whisper things into your ear that will lead you astray. You're going to find them on the internet. You're going to find them in many of these games, board games, internet games. And you're going to have all these interactive games with strangers in other parts of the world that you don't even know who they are. And then, of course, those who go to work, you find them in your workplace as well. They're everywhere, in other words. And so you deliberately join them and stand in their way so that you can meet them and have a social relationship with them. And that's how some people end up marrying unbelievers. And that's why many of them are influenced by their sinful friends. And so they start drinking, they start gambling, they start smoking. That's what happens. They never used to do that until they mix themselves with sinners by standing in their way. You do not want to avoid them. You do not want to stay away from them. You do not want to distance yourself from their lifestyle. Because your thinking is ungodly, and the godly ways are not your desire, because you don't think upon them. Isn't that true? Now, this is God's description of you and me. God's description of the person who is righteous. So God is now speaking to you. Is this your thinking? It will be seen by your social life, your association. If you are more comfortable with the people of the world than with the people of God, that is a very telltale sign. Isn't that true? You are very comfortable with the people of the world. What do the people of the world say and do? All things carnal. The words that come out of their mouth are carnal, sinful, sometimes even worse. They mock God. They laugh at God. They make fun of the things of God. And then you laugh with them. And you call yourself a child of God. You call yourself the righteous. And you enjoy the sin and the evil of these sinful people. How could that ever be the heart and the mind and the way of the righteous? And if you don't stop there, not only will you stand in their way, now you're going to sit in the seat of the scornful. That is worse, because the word sit there means you put your house there. It's the word for dwelling. It's a person who comes to a piece of farmland and then now you build your house. This is now my home. You build your house together with the people who are now scornful. Not only are these sinners, they mock and make fun of God. The first group, ungodly, don't care for God. Second, they sin against God. And the third, they mock and laugh at God. And now you have made your home with these people. You sit with them, so you become one of them. You were not like that before. But now you see the regression. And so the first thing you must do is don't even begin this downward slide. Because this downward slide is evidence everywhere. Don't you dare think that you're going to be different. You're not going to be different. If you think that this is not going to happen to you, I don't want to be godly, but I will never, never end up sitting in the seat of the scornful. You think so? You're already doing it. Calling God a liar. When God says, this is what will happen to you. You say, no, God, you are wrong. It will never happen to me. What does that mean? You're basically calling God a liar. God made you. God knows you better than you know yourself. God can never lie. That is His character. You and I are always liars. You and I are the opposite. You can't tell the truth. That's who we are before salvation. But after salvation, God says, the one who is righteous, who is blessed by God, who knows me, God says, you will not walk in the way of the godly, so that you will never stand in the way of the sinner, and you will never, never sit with the seat of the scornful, those who mock and make fun of God and say the Bible has mistakes, Jesus Christ has mistakes, Jesus Christ did not do miracles, all the attacks on God and the Word of God, you will have nothing to do with them. Not only ought you to sit with them and help them propagate their lies and their mockery and their scorn against God. A blessed person will stay far, far away from such a one. Now, this is God's definition of the way of the righteous. This is the negative. You stay far away from all these. Is this your life? God knows that you will be in school. You will be at work. You will meet all these people. Fine, by all means. You will have to meet with them, to mix with them, to rub shoulder with them as you work with them, as you study with them in class. Fine and good. So that you can be the salt to the world that is dying. Because in order for you to be a salt, the assumption is salt has to be in contact. Otherwise, salt cannot preserve rotten meat by itself. It has to be rubbed into the meat. It has to be in contact with that which you want to change and keep from decaying. And so, by all means, go to the workplace, go to school, and be with them. But don't become like them. That is the danger. Be with them so that you can show them how Christians live, how a righteous child of God live his life, so that you can point them to the Savior, but you don't become like them. That is the pitfall that some of us might have fallen into. Get out. For this new year, get out. Come back. Come back to the fold. Let your friends out there be friends that you impact for Christ. Let your social friends be people from within the church that will provoke you unto love and to good works, that can encourage you in the way and the things of God. And you cannot do that when you stay away from the fellowship groups, from the Bible study groups, from worship service, from church camp, or any other activities and ministries that the church had made possible for you, so that you will not need to fight and struggle alone as you witness for Christ. Because a person who is blessed, not only will he stay away from all these negative, there must be the positive. There must be the positive. And so you find that from verse 2 to verse 4, the comparison. The person who is blessed in comparison to the person who is ungodly. You see the ungodly in verse 4 described for us. What he is like. And the person who is blessed or righteous, you see him described for us in verse 2 and verse 3. Now you notice the scornful is already excluded. God just simply compare or contrast the righteous with either the person who is ungodly or the sinner. Don't talk about the scornful. The scornful are obviously cast aside by God. Right from the very beginning, the righteous versus the ungodly. And if you do not stop being ungodly, you're going to turn and become a sinner. It's going to get worse. And if you do not stop and turn your life around, you're going to become a scornful person. And that's what we see with our own eyes today. Many, many times. People who don't care for God, don't care for God's word. So stay away from all the negative. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to their thinking and all their counsel, their advice. It will ruin you. Stay away from their way of life. Don't join them in their scornful behavior. But your delight, what gives you pleasure, what is valuable to you, that's what it means. But his delight, the things which is precious to him, what are the things that are most precious to you? It will reveal who you are too. Stay away from this, good. But the other part, the things that you do now. Verse 1, you do not do. But then what do? You have to do what is right now. You cannot just don't do anything. You have to do what is right. And what is it that you must do? You will delight in the law of the Lord, the word of God. The word of God is valuable to the righteous, precious to him. Did you read God's word this morning when you woke up? It is not too late to make a covenant with God to read through the Bible through this year. Make a covenant with God if you are a father and a mother with young children for the rest of your life, literally, for the rest of your life as a father, as a mother, will you promise to read one chapter of Proverbs a day? Because the book of Proverbs, you find in it instructions will help you to be a godly father and your godly mother to guide your children. The book of Psalms is a book that will comfort you in times of trouble, in times of sorrow. It is very comforting, and that's what we are studying. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book to tell us about the life of Solomon who wasted his life. It is a book of regret, teaching us, don't follow in my footsteps, learn from my big mistakes. Solomon counsel. The book of Job teaches us how to counsel people, or rather how not to counsel people, because the three friends of Job, they make blunders of the blunders because of their lack of the knowledge of the word of God, and they try to counsel without proper knowledge of God's word. And instead of helping, they hurt Job even more. But the book of Proverbs is a book that is preventative, to help your sons and the daughters to make fewer mistakes in life. Because as a parent, you need to teach them. And you can't teach them without knowing what the word of God is. And the book of Proverbs is so precious and priceless that you can be a godly father and a godly mother to them. All you need to do is to read it meditatively every day with God's help. Let one verse, as you read chapter by chapter, stand out and memorize that verse. And then put it to practice. And then share with your son, your daughter, your children, so that they may understand that mom and dad, they are guiding me, helping me, pointing me through the word of God. So that they will have this precious lesson that mom and dad finds the word of God precious in their lives, and so must I. That you must let that be your legacy to your children. That mom and dad will live their lives, bringing them up, going out to work, working hard, taking care of them at home with the word of God as their guide, as their rule book. One chapter a day for the rest of your life, father, mother. Now, grandparents, do the same if it's not too late. The book of Proverbs is for all of us. Preventative. Prevention better than cure, is it not? Read it. Today is the 7th, Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7 is a chapter that warns husband about strange women. An entire chapter dedicated to that. Warn husbands, men, about strange women, pretending to be spiritual, pretending to be holy, and then seduce them, and they fall into sin, and at the end of it, the Bible is very direct and very specific, you will die and you'll end up in hell. You read that, you share with your sons. You share with your daughters. Don't be a strange woman, and the son, don't be a simple one, because the simple one is the word used there. and let them know it. The world out there is like that. Fornication is no longer frowned upon. It is accepted as a way of life. Pornography is also accepted by the world as part of growing up. They don't care anymore. Many countries, they legalize such things. You don't even go to prison when you're caught with this kind of material anymore. And Singapore can't stop this anymore as well because of the internet. They can't bar it, they can't censor it. And it continues to plague and destroy lives, especially the young minds. All because we chose to be ignorant, because we do not regard the Word of God as delightful, as precious to us, as something that we value. Because that's what a blessed, righteous child of God would do. He will stay away from this, and he will now gravitate toward the Word of the Lord. Is that what you are experiencing and going through now? Because the way of the righteous will stay away from all the ungodly, the sinners, and the scornful, and he will now turn toward the Word of everlasting life so that he can have close communion with his Heavenly Father. Because the Word of God, wherever you read it, is God speaking to you. Whenever you pray, you are speaking to God. And God says, if you are not interested in listening to what I say, right? You don't want to read God's Word. That means you're not interested in what God has to say, right? You ask yourself, why should God be interested in what you say? Why? Do you know that the Bible tells us in Proverbs that if you are not bothered about listening to God's Word, your prayers are an abomination to God. Do you know that? Do you know that? The reason is, you're not interested in what I say. What you say to me, God says, is an abomination. It's important to pray. But do you not know how important it is also to read God's Word, to hear His voice? You want Him to hear your voice? God says, please also hear my voice. Tonight we're going to have our first Sunset Gospel service on this new theme called Know Your God. Are you interested to know Him? You begin with, I am Jehovah. Do you know what that means when God says, I am Jehovah? Are you interested? Prove it, not by answering yes or no, by being present. It's between you and the Lord. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. You can deceive man, but you can't deceive him, so please don't try. You're going to end up the big loser. God does not want you to end up the big loser. God wants you to be a child of God that is true to His Word. That's why He gave us all these words to make sure that you and I can make sure of our salvation. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. He kept on pondering about it. Day and night, when he wakes up, pondering. Nighttime, as he sleeps, pondering. Keep on pondering. Pondering until he falls asleep. And the moment he wakes up, he continues. Throughout the day, when your mind is meditating on God's Word, and you and I know that the mind can only think of one thing at a time. One thing at a time. And because of that, if your mind is meditating upon God's Word, what do you think will have no place and no room in your thinking? Sinful thoughts, evil thoughts, pornographic thoughts, wicked thoughts. True? Because your mind continues to meditate upon what God is speaking to you. The verse that you have been reading and jumping out at you every day from the chapter of the book of Proverbs, for example. And you meditate throughout this verse, throughout the whole day. No room for evil, sinful thoughts. Isn't that true? Do you not want that wonderful, blessed experience? It's all yours to enjoy. All you need is to do it. If you find the law of the Lord delightful, you will. Because a person who treasures the Word of God, he loves God. We all have experienced that. You all have broken relationship before? I have had broken relationship before. In other words, I have girlfriends before I met my wife. That's what I mean, broken relationship. When you love the girl, when you like the girl at the beginning, what she says means a lot to you. What she desires means a lot to you. What she says, therefore, is precious to you because you want to know her. You want to like her more. And therefore, it's precious. But then as you continue on the relationship, you realize that this is not the right person. You realize that there are certain things you cannot accept, you cannot agree with as a Christian. And so, the feelings started to wane. The liking started to disappear. And then now you think of how to break off. And what she says now, not so important anymore. In the past, you want chicken rice? I give chicken rice. You want fried rice? I give fried rice. You want chai kway teow? I give chai kway teow. Now, I ask her, what do you want to eat? Chicken rice. I bring her, eat fried rice. Let her know, hey, how come now, last time like this, now like this? He's about to break off with me. You get a message? What you like, I don't care for much anymore. True. What has happened? No more feelings. No more feelings. And it's painful. I hurt people, they hurt me back before. Painful. You think God is dead? You think He doesn't feel it? You think He doesn't get hurt? We call ourselves children of the Most High God. And then we do not live the life of the Most High God by not even bothering to read God's word. No joy, no delight in what God says. How can we say to Him that we love Him? And we are not even interested in what He has to say by not reading God's word. And we only open the scriptures on Sunday. Some of us don't even know the sequence of the 66 books of the Bible. Some of us don't even know the sequence of the New Testament books. If you use electronic Bible, that is a curse. Because electronic Bible will not help you learn the books of the Bible. Will not help you learn the order of the books of the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is a curse. In the past, when we want to travel from point A to point B, we have to memorize maps. Before we start our journey, we have to travel from here to Malacca. So we memorize what should we do, where should the travel be, and we have the map nearby next to the passenger, and we try to memorize the route, so the next time when someone asks us the route, we can describe it. Now with all these modern gadgets, you just type in the destination, pop, they will tell you the way. And so when you arrive and people ask you, hey, how to go to this place, huh? Just buy the gadget. You can't describe it yourself. You just simply follow the voice of the gadget. Turn left, turn right, go straight, turn in. You just follow. You don't memorize anymore. You do not know better. Same with electronic Bible. You want this chapter, you want this book, you just plug in and type and that's it. You don't memorize anymore. Using this whole old hard copy, you continue to memorize. You know what book follows after, which book. You memorize so much. You can imagine, you can visualize in your brain. All right, this particular verse, I know it's in this book, in this chapter, left side, right side of my Bible here. This is it. I know how to find it. People don't memorize God's word anymore because with all these electronic convenience, it is a curse. It stops us from using our brain. And when our brain are not filled with the word of God, it is filled with garbage. Fill it with God's word so that no room for garbage. If you do not delight in God's word, you pray that God will give you that love for God's word once more. That's what it means by stir within my heart that first love, O Lord. When I first met up with you 30 plus years ago, when I first accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior, the feeling, the burning in your heart was so strong to want to know Christ more and more. But then now after 20 years, 30 years, what has happened to that love? It should burn even stronger than 30 years ago. Is it not true? Because God is a wonderful God. And if you have been walking close to Him, you will know how great and how wonderful He has always been to you. And you should love Him more this year than last year, today than yesterday. Because He is indeed a good and a faithful God to us. And you will meditate upon His word day and night, and your life will never be the same again. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Because every tree planted by rivers of water will always flourish. Because that's the way trees and water relate to each other. Always. Unless the tree, the roots are rotten. But the tree is healthy, the water is there, rivers keep on flowing, keep on non-stop supply, and the tree will keep on growing, keep on flourishing throughout the year, regardless of whether it is drought or does not matter. The trees will continue to flourish as long as the rivers of water continue to flow. In other words, it's automatic. The transformation in your life will be automatic because the power of God is transforming you every moment of every day. You'll bring forth His fruit in His season. You see, your life is changed. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is the life of the righteous. This is the way of the righteous. And the Lord says, I know this way. Do you know this way? Experientially, not theoretically in your brain. It's not memorizing someone. I know some of you have memorized someone. Memorizing the word of God is not why God gave us his word. It is important. But if you stop there, it is futile. The word of God is given only for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to be obeyed. Memorizing it, meditating upon it, if it does not result in obedience, it's useless. It must result in obedience. That is key, crucial. That's the singular reason why God gave us his word. Understand, memorize, must always obey. God says, this is the way of the righteous. Stay away from all the negative. Love God's word. Meditate upon it day and night. And he will be like a very fruitful tree. Even the leaves will not wither. And everything that he does will prosper. God promise. God guarantees. Now all you need is to trust and obey. It is yours. Trust and obey, and it is yours. You know how wonderful a parent you will be to your children if you do this? What is your desire for your sons and your daughter? Is it not salvation in Christ? You want that to be a success, a prosperous, fruitful result? This is the way. You really love your sons and your daughter? You truly love them? Then do this. Do this. If you really love them, then do it. For Jesus' sake, God promises you, God guarantees you will be prosperous. You cannot fail because God will not let you fail if you obey him in this manner. However, the ungodly are not so. He's not interested. Right? Ungodly. Right from the very beginning, the ungodly will listen to the counsel of the ungodly. They will have a totally different mind, a totally different way of life, a totally different thinking. And God says, they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In the olden days, during harvest time, do you know how they separate the chaff from the wheat? They would go up to a hilltop, and then it's always very windy in Israel with all the high hills. And so they will see where the wind is blowing. So if the wind is blowing from the back to the front, and so they will stand in a position where they will have a tray with all their wheat and the chaff all attached together. And then they will flip it up. The wheat that is heavy will continue to fall down. And the chaff that is light, as they flip it up, the wind will just simply blow it away. And that's how they will separate the chaff from the wheat. They'll keep on throwing it up with the wind behind them. And then at the end of it, all that remains will only be wheat. The chaff is blown away. Useless, worthless. Nobody wants it. Completely void of any nutrients. Good only to be disposed of. And God says, if your life does not help brothers and sisters in Christ become better believers, if your life does not point sinners to the Savior, then your life is chaff. Isn't that true? Or you may be a very good, for example, a good computer expert, and all you do is to help fix computer. That's it. All you do is to help fix computer. You don't impact your colleagues for Christ. You don't tell them about Christ. You don't talk to them about the gospel. You don't do anything holy toward them so that they can see Christ in you. Your life is a chaff to them because your life impacts them only for good in this life. Because when they die in sin, they will die with a very good computer next to them. They don't have Christ because all you did was to fix their computer, you did not share Christ with them. And so how good is your life? You did not help them to get out of hell, get out of sin, which you could have. All you needed to do was to tell them about Christ. There are a lot of tracks out there. Will you take a track and carry it with you everywhere you go? so that you will ever be ready. Get some Chinese, get some English. If you can't speak Mandarin like me, get a Chinese track and give. Chinese New Year is coming. Our Chinese New Year tracks will probably be produced. It is bilingual. You can use it. All you need to do is to do it. Give it. You take a taxi, give to the person, strike up a conversation. After the conversation, ask him, would you mind if I give you something to read? It's about being born again in Christ. That's all it takes. Don't let your life be worthless chaff. The life of the righteous is a life that oozes out righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Do you know how precious you are to your friends? You carry with you the key to the kingdom of heaven, and that key is none other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. All you need to do is to share with them the key. Right now they are on the door, the brink, the entrance to the kingdom of heaven because you are around. They can now see and witness the life of a citizen of heaven, how righteous, how godly, how pure his life is, which is the image of Jesus Christ. He can see the Son of God in your life as a righteous person by the way that you live. And then when you share the gospel with them, you are now offering them the key. All they need to do is to take the key, unlock the door, and enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that is your privilege given to you by God. They don't know how precious you are to them. You must know how precious you are to them. You are not there just to fix the things of this earth. You are here to fix their lives through Christ. That's why you are here. And that's the way of the righteous. That's why you have been left behind after salvation. The way of the righteous, verse 1. The righteous and the ungodly contrasted, verse 2 to verse 4. And the end of the righteous and the ungodly concluded in verse 5 and verse 6. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment they are going to fall, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They will be cast aside. They will be rejected and they will be thrust into the fires of hell itself. Know that. Your friends and your loved ones who are outside Christ, they belong to the sinner and the ungodly. Do you not know that? Do you not care? Do you not have a burden for their soul in hell? You must, as a child of God. That's why you are still around in their lives. Don't just pray for them. Witness to them. Tell them about Christ. Be proactive. As you begin this new year, will you do that? Consecrate your whole body to the Lord for the Lord to use to reach out to the sinners and the ungodly because they are dying. They will not stand when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. They are going to be sentenced by Him to the lake of fire. Please understand that. And you can still do something while you are still alive and they are still alive and you are still in contact with them. Don't delight in the things of the world. Delight in the Word of God. Meditate and God will give you the truth, the courage and the understanding to speak the right words to the right people at the right time. But the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord knows. And the Lord will be pleased with your life. But the way of the ungodly, it shall perish. So which way are you walking? Your hands, your eyes, your feet, your being. Is it along the way of the righteous? Or is it in the way of the ungodly that will perish? It's your life, dear friend. Make the right choice between you and God Almighty. Choose wisely. Whatever you have chosen in the past year will not come back. You have regrets? Repent and pray and ask God to give you a new heart and a new love. To start afresh in this new year, it is not too late. As long as you are still breathing, even if it is one day or one week, spend the final day and the final week living for Christ. It is still worth it. Samson was a derelict, a terrible, terrible Nazarite most of his life. He did not know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior until he was blinded and they were mocking him and laughing at him when they tied him to two pillars. And while he was there in the state of helplessness, in the condition, for the first time in his life, he cried to the Lord, and that was the time when he accepted Christ, and for that brief moment, he pleaded with God for strength, and God gave it to him, and he did what was righteous. For how long? For that brief moment of his conversion, that brief moment of time. That's all he did. Similar to the thief that hung on the cross next to Christ. When he accepted Christ, he was not brought down from the cross. He was only there for a few more hours, and that would be the final moment of his life of witness. But he was able to share the gospel with the other thief. Aren't you afraid? We are crucified here for our sin. He is crucified because he is righteous as the Son of God. Are you not afraid? He shared only one gospel before he died. And it is recorded in the scriptures to remind us, as long as you are breathing, even for one day, if you live for Christ, it is not too late for you. Whatever that was not done in the past, let it be. Milk that is spilled, water under the bridge. Repent and regret, and that's it. But whatever is ahead, don't make the same mistakes. Make a transform change in all your relationship with God, husband and wife, parent and child, child and parent, your attitude toward your studies in school, your attitude toward your work, all these, God says, I know the way of the righteous in all these areas of his life. And I want the best for you, and you must know that I know. And therefore, live rightly, live righteously, for God's sake, for the blessing of God's people, and for the sinners who are in your life, who need very much to see the Savior. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may thy Holy Spirit speak to our hearts as we begin this new year on this first Lord's Day. For you have brought us into thy house, not by chance nor by accident, by thy sovereign will and appointment. May thy Holy Spirit take the word of everlasting life and sanctify every worshipper's heart, that we may truly, truly know that the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. May all of us choose the way of the righteous, and may this be reflected in the way that we live on this earth for Jesus, and help us that we may truly know that at the end of this life, we may stand before thee, accepted, and not be rejected. O Lord, may thy Holy Spirit continue to bring conviction to every heart, that we may all make the right choice and the right decision, not only at the start of this year, but for the rest of our lives. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.